Welcome to Between the Synapse with Mark Tobin. If you're looking to learn something useful, you've come to the wrong place. But as Belushi once said, it don't cost nothing. So let's get things started. Here's Mark Tobin.
Hey, and welcome to Between the Synapse. Thanks for joining me and listening to the show. I particularly want to thank all my listeners, both live as well as on the podcast, for moving me up over 30 spots in the rankings. Great job, guys. Really appreciate the support and hope you're really enjoying the show. Remember, you can check out all previous podcasts at my blog at www.betweenthesynapse.com. If you've not yet subscribed, you can do so on the front page, and I urge you to, so you can get all the relevant information. Also, if you've got any questions or comments today, give me a call, 866-472-5788. Today's episode is entitled Selfie. I'm not a huge fan of taking selfies, and actually I'm not very good at it, according to my children. However, my producer, Winston Price, suggested that I do spend some time on the show allowing the listeners to get to know me better. And I wasn't really sure how to convey this, and I decided that I would just kind of randomly find some interview questions on the internet. So I Googled interview questions, I interviewed break ice questions, and I came up with some questionnaires that I will ask myself. I'm not going to ask every single question on each of them. Some of them are just really ridiculous. And by the way, you should know, I hate the kinds of meetings or events or whatever where you go around in a circle and you say, you know, who's your favorite author or who would you most like to have a beer with? I really, really hate these things. Yet, because I love my listeners, I'm willing to put myself through this ordeal. So we're going to get to that in just a little bit. First of all, just a few things in the news that I want to get to. Yesterday's Houston Chronicle, sometimes headlines can be a little deceiving. At the top of the front page, it reads, Texas officials cautiously optimistic about Ebola. Let me say that again. Texas officials cautiously optimistic about Ebola. I remember a similar headline where it said that the coach of the Houston Texans is cautiously optimistic about the upcoming season. You don't use cautiously optimistic when talking about a very deadly disease. You might say are cautiously optimistic about containing Ebola, or cautiously optimistic about ensuring that no one else gets Ebola. But to say you're cautiously optimistic about Ebola seems to me that you want Ebola to succeed, which, if you read the article, is not the intent. Yet the article, the headline certainly suggested otherwise. So I put this into the category of words do matter, and perhaps may send a little message over to the Chronicle asking them if, in fact, they're rooting for the success of Ebola in Texas or would like to make sure that it does not succeed. I'm cautiously optimistic that the Chronicle will not take my advice, however. Also in the news, I just saw this today. This is a real problem. Former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee ran for president, I don't know how many times, was lieutenant governor of Arkansas, was governor, was chairman of the National Governors Association. So this is a guy who has been on the inside of politics. He's not, quote, somebody who's never seen how things work. He's not someone who doesn't have an understanding of how laws get made or how we operate as a country in terms of obeying those laws. Still, in response to the Supreme Court's decision not to hear the challenge to gay marriage petition, which therefore allowed gay marriage to proceed in, I believe, 5 states, he says that, well, the courts have spoken, and it's an important voice, but it's not the voice of God, and the Supreme Court isn't God. He goes on to suggest that the two other branches of government choose not to agree that they correctly interpret the Constitution, then it's not law yet. Of course, this is false. Yet, here we have someone who is talking to, albeit a certain specific group, mostly highly conservative people. He was on their show promoting his new book, God, Guns, Grits, and Gravy. And it was a show that was aimed to people on the right or far right. Nonetheless, he's urging people not to obey the law. And he said that he hopes that the governors will simply say that they're not going to enforce that same-sex marriage ruling. If you think about it, just how outrageous these comments are. First of all, he says that person's belief that God is supreme is superior to that of the law of the land. Now, if that were the case, we would have complete chaos, and particularly on issues that he didn't agree with. So here we have Huckabee, who obviously is distraught over the fact that gay people will be allowed to marry, and I don't know, maybe even move next door to him. Instead of suggesting that the legislature take action, which they could, which is the way that you can overcome a Supreme Court decision, he's saying that governors should not enforce the law in their respective state. He goes on to compare it to Roe v. Wade and says, I look back to 1973 and I'm wondering what would have happened if the two branches of government, the executive and the legislative, simply said, oh, we appreciate your opinion, court, but now, if states wish to empower that, I guess they can do so. But until that happens, we're not automatically going to go killing 55 million babies over the next 40 years. It doesn't matter what the issue is. And this is really important for everyone to understand, regardless of where you are on any particular political issue, and particularly those garner a lot of passion, that we have a system of government. And it's worked a few kinks along the way, but for the most part, pretty darn well. Yet, if we have leaders, people who are former governors, people who are presidential candidates, perennial presidential candidates, telling other lawmakers and telling people not to obey a law because they don't believe in it, we're going to have real problems. Which leads me to this morning. I stopped by Starbucks to get my pre-show coffee, and in front of me was a Houston police officer wearing the new uniforms. They're dark navy, made of, instead of polyester or whatever they used to be made of, they're made up of kind of the athletic fabrics, the ones that breathe and deal better with sweat, and they actually look quite good. They look more comfortable, the cops look more confident, and I'm very happy that they have new uniforms, because I think the old ones looked really uncomfortable, and they look particularly hot when they're standing out in the sun. The one thing I noticed, though, and maybe I've missed this, but I don't recall ever seeing it on a policeman, just, on regular duty, is he had a belt, kind of wearing it like a fanny pack, and it was a belt that held extra magazines for his automatic pistol. And he had 4, I assume that they were full, magazines for his pistol. I'm not sure exactly how much they held, probably 9, 12 bullets, something like that. So in addition to his gun, he had, let's just say it was 9. 9 times 5 is, what is that, 40. 45, sorry. 45 bullets, which he had immediate access to. And he joined me when I was filling my coffee with milk, as he did the same. And I kind of joked. I said, I hope you're not going to need all those magazines. And he said, well, you know, hopefully not, but, you know, just in case, I'll be ready. And when I then read things that people like Huckabee say, you know, obviously police reaction, police shootings has been in the news with Ferguson and around the country, and it is a real, real problem. And I'm in no way excusing the kinds of actions that I believe occurred in Ferguson. However, I think it's important that we do understand what the police are facing and what they perceive they're facing. When a policeman feels compelled to have 5 magazines on his person, it means that the threats that he believes that he might be facing are not only real, but also large. And, you know, we know that there have been a number of mass shootings. We know that people have more guns than ever. And it's because of that that I believe, you know, this officer was carrying this much ammunition on his person. He seemed like a nice enough guy. He didn't seem like he was intent on, you know, doing anything untowards. I just believe that he wanted to be prepared. And that's sad. That is sad that just a regular patrol officer felt the need to carry that much ammunition on his person. But knowing, I guess, how many people have weapons and how many bullets they might have, he wanted to make sure that he could protect himself and, I guess, others as well. By the way, I don't know if, speaking of guns, I don't know if y'all saw this. I think it was a day or two ago. There is an Oregon man who lives in a county in Oregon. It's called, I can't even pronounce it, but Multnomah County in Oregon. And this is a county that allows open carry, meaning like in the old West, you can stick a gun in a your belt or holster and walk around openly and with or without a concealed weapons license. So this 21-year-old man had just purchased a brand new Walther P-22, which I understand is a very nice gun, and he was walking around the street at 2 a.m., openly displaying his brand new weapon. A person comes up to him and says, hey, can I bum a smoke? And I guess they start talking, and then the guy says, I like your gun. And he says, not only that, but the other man pulls out his own gun and points it at him and proceeds to walk away with a brand new Walther P-22. I think this is an episode that just speaks for itself, that the issues that that we confront when we turn our streets into the Wild West. We're going to take a short break, so stick around on Between the Synapse.
The Internet's number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
Ah, a nice glass of wine is very refreshing after the end of a long day. But have you ever considered the story behind the wine? Tune in to Bacchus and Beery Wine Radio with your hosts, Roger and Donna Beery. You'll meet some of the people behind the world's wineries, travel the wine country, and learn more about that glass that you're enjoying. Roger and Donna will also give would-be vintners a behind-the-scenes look at starting a winery. Bacchus and Beery Wine Radio airs live every Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on Voice America Variety. What can you find on Get Real Radio? Well, quite honestly, who you really are. Join host James Robinson each week for a program designed to reveal more about yourself and your world through words of wisdom and profound guests. You'll discover more about the spiritual movement and how it can work with you and alert you to problems you may not be aware of. It will educate, titillate, and enlighten your mind. Get Real Radio is broadcast live every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. This could end up being the best time of your week.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Between the Synapse with your host, Mark Tobin. If you want in on this week's discussion, please call us at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to mbt@betweenthesynapse.com or on Twitter at @BetweenTSynapse. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Between the Synapse. I'm your host, Mark Tobin, and thanks for listening. We're talking about some of the headlines and news items of this week. Back to the gay marriage issue. Texas could have gay marriage sometime in the near future. There is a case which is being appealed by the state of Texas, and if the Supreme Court doesn't hear it, or they agree with the plaintiffs, then we'll have gay marriage in Texas. This is a long road from the time when, I think it was even in the past decade, that sodomy was illegal and considered a felony. Of course, the opposition isn't done. Texas Senator Ted Cruz called the recent Supreme Court decision where they rejected the petition to hear the appeal by the states recently this week. He called it tragic and indefensible, and he suggested that an amendment to the Constitution, U.S. Constitution, would block attempts by both the Supreme Court and the federal government to overturn state bans on same-sex unions. Well, I will give the senator credit because unlike Governor Huckabee, he at least understands how our government works. Still, nice rhetoric, but with now well over half of the people in this country agreeing that gays should be allowed to marry, even in the state of Texas, it's just over 50%, according to recent data. Good luck with that. What I do hope, however, is that once gays are allowed to marry in all 50 states, which hopefully will come, you know, soon, that we don't spend the next 10 years spending all the time in the legislatures trying to undo this. Moving backwards has never been a positive for our country, except perhaps the repeal of prohibition. And in order to fight a fight that's already been lost, but to keep at it is only going to distract from the very important issues that we have to contend with over the next few years. So I don't think it's going to happen, but maybe at some point in the near future, gay marriage opponents will at least realize that this is a lost effort, and it's not worth putting the country through any more time, resources, debate, angst on this issue. Lastly, before I get to my selfie, I want to congratulate Patrick Modiano of France for winning the Nobel Prize for Literature. I will admit that I am not familiar with this author, though I do look forward to reading his novels at some point. Apparently he writes a lot about the Nazi occupation of France during World War II, and it represents his lifelong works, which, according to the committee, for the art of memory with which he has evoked the most ungraspable human destinies and uncovered the life world of the occupation. One interesting fact about the Nobel Prize for Literature is, you know, no country has, quote, you know, better writers than others, and you know, it's particularly hard to compare, you know, native, you know, when they write in their own language and comparing it to English and so forth. But I do find it a bit unusual that the last time an American won the Nobel Prize for Literature was in 1993 when Toni Morrison won the prize. Now, before that, the United States won on occasion, just like every other country. Interestingly, before John Steinbeck won in, I believe, 1962. Yes, in 1962, all the other Americans that won were actually not native born. So let me just go through this list real quick. I think you'll find it interesting. So as I said, the last U.S. recipient of the Nobel Prize for Literature was Toni Morrison in 1993. Before that, we go to 1980, when Czesław Miłosz, who was originally from Poland and wrote in Polish, but was a citizen of the United States, won the prestigious award. 2 years before that, Isaac Singer, writing in Yiddish, born in Russia, but a citizen of the United States, won the award. Then in 1976, Saul Bellow was a recipient, writing in English, not Canadian, where he was born. Who knew? Then we go back all the way to the aforementioned John Steinbeck, who, like Toni Morrison, was born in the United States. And then, if you're interested in the rest of the winners from the United States, we go to 1954 to a very familiar name, Ernest Hemingway. And then, and this is something I did not know, in 1948, T.S. Eliot, born in the U.S., but a citizen of the United Kingdom, won the award. 1938, Pearl S. Buck. 1936, Eugene O'Neill. 1930, Sinclair Lewis. And let's see. That's about it. It looks like Sinclair Lewis was the first winner from the United States. Now, as I said before, I'm not suggesting that somebody from the United States should win often, but maybe occasionally, maybe at least every 20 years they could find somebody with all the writers we have? I don't know. I'm just a little suspicious of the committee. I don't know what's going on there, but interesting to note. All right. Now, we get to the aforementioned selfie. Now, as I said, I Googled interview questions, I Googled icebreaker questions, and I just kind of picked some at random. Now, and this is very important, I have not prepared any answers to any of these questions. So these aren't canned answers. I'm just going to go through this list, and if I feel like answering a particular one, I will, but it'll be off the cuff, just as it would be if you know, we were all sitting around a room and everybody was asked these same questions, like, if you were an animal, what would you be and why? Okay, I'm not going to answer that because I think that's stupid. So I will answer some questions. As I said at the top of the show, my producer suggested that I allow my listeners an opportunity to get to know me a little better. Whether this will accomplish that task, I have no freaking idea, but I don't have a guest today, so we're going to give it a shot. If you have any questions for me of any kind or about any of the things that we've talked about today, or quite frankly, about anything else, give me a call at 866-472-5788. And you will be on the radio. Okay, so question number one. If you could have an endless supply of any food, what would you get? Corn nuts. For whatever reason, I love corn nuts. I never get tired of them. Try not to eat them. They're not the worst thing you can eat, but they're certainly not healthy. But I don't know. There's something about corn nuts that you know. As soon as you're done, it's like you want more. They're just delicious and crunchy and come in many, many flavors. Though I don't like the spicy ones. I only like I like plain. I like you know, they got your barbecue, and I think it's like a sour cream and onion or something like that. The other ones I could, you know, I could do without. All right. When you were little, who was your favorite superhero and why? Huh. I don't remember having a particular favorite superhero. I was not a huge comic guy, though I did read some. How about Underdog? You know, I love dogs. You know, he just had a way about him. And, you know, whether he was an actual superhero, I don't know. But I'm going to say Underdog on that one. Let's see. Oh, similarly, what's your favorite cartoon character and why? Okay, this one's easy, and that would be Bugs Bunny. What can I say? Bugs is the greatest. He was sly. He was clever. He was ironic. He was so much more sophisticated than any other cartoon character, particularly of that time, that I can think of. And Bugs was the best. You know, I don't know what else to say. But, yeah, there were some other ones that I enjoyed. But when it came down to it, well, that's an easy one. Bugs Bunny is by far my favorite cartoon character. Now, this question isn't on there, but I'll go ahead and share it because it's related, which is, what is your favorite comic strip? Let me say that I really don't read the comics anymore, sadly. And not just because I don't read the hard copy of the paper every day like I used to, but mostly I don't find any of the today's comics all that funny. There are a couple of them that are okay, but just not really worth, you know, taking the time to get to the comic page. It's not like it used to be. And, you know, even if you get the Chronicle and a lot of other papers, the Sunday comics, in many of them, the first comic is still Peanuts, which the author of which died well over a decade ago. You know, I think that maybe a lot of people who would have been writing and drawing comics have moved on into different kinds of graphic art instead of doing it on paper. Maybe that's why there just isn't the same amount of talent. I don't know why. But to me, and this is just, I guess, maybe my generation, the golden age of comics was in the 80s. Because not only did you have Calvin and Hobbes, classics, still funny if you read it now, The Far Side, as hysterical as ever. It's not dated at all. If you were to go and pick up a book of Far Side comics, you would still laugh hysterically. Now, Doonesbury's still around. I haven't read it in a very, very long time. I believe it was more relevant and better back in the 70s and 80s. So you had that going on. And then you had my all-time favorite, which was Bloom County. I recall when Bloom County ended, and it really was a sad day, because, you know, I remember whether it was the Emory Wheel or the Daily Texan or San Antonio Express, Atlanta Constitution, Houston Chronicle, Washington Post, whatever, wherever I was, I think even before I get to the sports page, I would go to the comics in order to read Bloom County with Opus the Penguin, who is just one of the most engaging and wonderful characters you will ever meet in a comic strip. I urge you to go and find the Bloom County books. I think they're still available, and you will enjoy them. That, The Far Side, Calvin and Hobbes, you can't go wrong. We've got to take a break. When we get back, we'll get to more selfie questions, so don't go anywhere on Between the Synapse.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
Listen for Matters of Design with celebrity designer Dimitri Christian Skourakis as he explores the dynamics of interior decorating. Imagine your personal style and ideas being shaped by our guest experts as they highlight a mixture of home furnishings, lighting, textiles, and fashion from around the world. If you've ever had difficulty trying to plan how to do it yourself, why not collaborate with a designer and wind up with results like you've never dreamed of? Matters of Design can be heard live every Thursday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Variety.
Women can live their lives to the fullest and realize their dreams for growth and greatness. Georgine Summers knows. As host of On the Edge, Georgine will give you powerful tools and rules to help you change direction in your life and get rid of the fears that stop you from living your dreams. Stretch your boundaries and become the amazing person you've always wanted to be. On the Edge with Georgine Summers airs live every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
You are listening to Between the Synapse with your host, Mark Tobin. If you want in on this week's discussion, please call us at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. 472-5788. You may also send an email to mvt@betweenthesynapse.com or on Twitter at @BetweenTSynapse. Now, back to the show.
All right. And welcome back to Between the Synapse, where we're in the middle of my selfie. I am interviewing myself with the help of random Google questions. As I said earlier, I just Googled icebreaker questions and interview questions, and of course, I'm picking and choosing through the list because some of them are truly idiotic, but I'm doing the best I can in order to share something about myself with my listeners. So, where were we? Let's see. If you could choose an imaginary friend, who would you choose and why? You know, I'd probably have to go back to the imaginary friend that I had when I was a little kid. His name was Johnny Horse. He was half boy, half horse, which makes him a centurion, for those of you who may be familiar with that. And I think I patterned him after some cartoon that I saw. I couldn't tell you what it was, but I think that's how I came up with him. He was a good imaginary friend to have, you know, because I could talk to him because he, you know, the top half was a boy. But you know, he could also give me a ride. You know, it was good, and we could talk as we rode, which, you know, made it more efficient. I will say that once I got to a certain age, you know, I think it was actually because people kept asking about Johnny Horse because, you know, for whatever reason, people, adults, will pester a kid about an imaginary friend, and they'll keep asking, you know, the kid about, so how's, you know, Bunny Fluffy, or how's how's Dino, or whatever. And, you know, quite frankly, an imaginary friend's a pretty personal thing. It's not something that you want other people talking about or asking you about. It's quite frankly, it's none of their damn business. You know, if they want an imaginary friend, they should get their own and not pester, you know, little kids about theirs. So at some point I think that I just got tired of all the inquiries about Johnny Horse. And at some point somebody asked me and I just said I killed him. Which, you know, looking back, I don't think was true because I don't recall ever actually killing Johnny Horse. I mean, why would I? I mean, you know, he's my friend. And so I just kind of had to move on because I think the personal aspect of it was kind of lost. And I really just wanted people to stop bugging me about, you know, my goddamn imaginary friend. It was mine, not theirs. So there's that. Let's see. Are you a sunrise, daylight, twilight, or night? It doesn't say person. It just says, are you one of those? Please share why you picked your time of day. Well, I'm definitely not sunrise. You know, I like daylight. It sunny day makes me feel good. Twilight is nice, but you know, I'm kind of a night owl. I'm not really sure what they mean by this question, but I guess I'll take night. I'll take night. If you could choose your age forever, what age would you choose and why? You know, I guess the best answer would to say, you know, my current age, because, you know, every year is great, but, you know, there are differences, and, you know, two ages do pop to mind. mostly because they were transitional, I think. And kind of being in two worlds, I thought was, looking back, a lot of fun. One was, you know, 18, 19, when, you know, you're going off to college, when you you're an adult, but, you know, just barely. And so you're kind of have a foot in the adult world, but also a foot in the teenage kid world. And I can't say that being, as we know, people at that age don't always make the best decisions, but nonetheless, it was a lot of fun. The second age would be about 27, kind of for the same reason, because you've become a young adult in your 20s, and you're looking, you know, somewhere towards 30 and more responsibility and job and all those kinds of things. But you still have a little of the sense of, you know, I want to go party mentality that you had, from your early 20s. You may start to wane a little bit, but once again, you kind of have one foot in the, you know, I got to take things seriously, and the other foot in the, well, you know what, not all the time. And so those would be two ages that I think are just great. And if you haven't reached those ages, you know, make sure you take advantage of it. All right. If you were a candy bar, no, I'm not going to answer that. If you were to change your name, what would you change your name to? Well, I guess it's kind of easy. I thought about sometimes using my middle name, Blair, and having a pen name of M. Blair Tobin, just using my first initial and then Blair. I don't know. I don't feel like a Blair. So, but if I did have to change my name, that's probably what it would be to. I know that's not a big change. All right, what else we got? Are you spring, summer, fall, or winter? Please share why. Well, I think most people probably say spring or fall, but yeah, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. If I am, you want to tell me what season you are, give me a call at 866-472-5788. I'm going to say fall. I don't know why. I'm just going to say fall. Okay. I'm going to go to another one here. What is your favorite sport or physical activity? Well, I love playing many sports. I don't play them like I used to, but I love football, basketball, baseball, and tennis. The only one I still play of those is tennis. So right now, tennis would be my favorite sport. Let's see. What three items would you want to have on a deserted island? Well, first of all, I would want to have a satellite phone to get the hell off the deserted island. Not that it wouldn't be nice for, you know, for a few days, I suppose. After a while, I think it might be a little bit off-putting. So give me a satellite phone that works. That would be number one. Number two, I'd have to have something to read. Give me an anthology of the 100 best novels ever written. And I know that varies depending upon who's doing the anthology, but you know what? It gives me some variety. And number three, and a nice sized knife. I think, you know, if you're alone on a desert island, you need some good, you need a good blade. Cut things for shelter and if you catch some fish, to be able to, you know, fillet the fish. And, you know, I think that would be very useful. So I guess my answer would be a satellite phone anthology of the 100 best novels of all time and a large bladed knife. All right, what else do we got here? Sing a few lines of a song you love. Don't tell them the name, let them guess. Okay, that's not going to happen. What's your favorite dish to cook for friends, for just you? Let's see, favorite dish to cook for friends. I love grilling. I grill an awful lot. But I also really like, and I haven't done this in a while and should, is I love to make risotto. Because when it's done right, it's really, really delicious. And just for me, you know, I don't often cook just for me. I don't know. You know what? I'm not sure I have an answer to that one. All right, so let's just move on. But before actually we move on, I just got the prompt that we are due for our last break. So why don't we do that, and I'll look at some more questions. When we get back, we will continue with my selfie. So stick around on Between the Synapse.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Tune in every week for Sex Out Loud. Host Tristan Taramino will discuss everything from sexual pleasure to sexual politics. Get an insider's perspective from leaders in the adult film industry, the LGBT community, and the sex-positive world. From kink to non-monogamy, nothing is off-limits. Plus, you can call in to join the conversation. Sex Out Loud airs every Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Join Dr. Linda Iniguez every week for the Shrink Wrap Forum. This show discusses topics that you wouldn't normally hear in today's media. In the forum, virtually no topic is off limits. We invite you to join us and participate or dive into the stream where we value independent thought, talk to those people that are making a difference, and explore ideas considered outside the box. The Shrink Wrap Forum can be heard live every Monday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one Internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Between the Synapse with your host, Mark Tobin. If you want in on this week's discussion, please call us at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to mbt@betweenthesynapse.com or on Twitter at @BetweenTSynapse. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back. We've got just a few minutes left on Between the Synapse. We are finishing my selfie where I'm asking myself icebreaker and interview questions in an effort to allow my listeners a chance to get to know me just a little bit better. All right, so let's see. Share your favorite material object that you already own. Well, I don't know if it's a favorite, but it's something recent, and that is the Blue Nessie mic, which I'm speaking into now. When I first started the show, I was using a headphone mic, which often presented challenges in terms of sound. And I then Googled microphones, and I found this company called Blue, and they manufacture a number of different styles. And they have a new one called Nessie, which I think is named because the microphone looks a little bit like the Loch Ness Monster, you know, those pictures where you allegedly see its head sticking out of the water. That's the only thing that I could guess as to why they call it Nessie. But I don't know if you guys have noticed that I sound a little bit more clear, a little bit better. If you do, it's because of my Nessie. What item that you don't have already would you like most to own? All right, well, you know, I used to have a radar detector, and it basically just became too old and ineffective based on new technology, and haven't had a chance to get a new one. For some reason, cops seem to pick on me a lot, and whatever reason, I seem to be the one that's always pulled over. You know, sometimes it's, and I'm, you know, just going a little bit faster than perhaps I should. Occasionally, I admit, maybe a lot faster. But anyway, one of these newfangled radar detectors I think would be particularly helpful so that I, you know, I, as I said earlier, I'm very happy that the Houston Police Department has new uniforms that that I think fit better and look better and are more comfortable and are cooler. But I don't really want to pay for them other than through my city taxes. So I don't feel the need to contribute extra. And if I could avoid that, I would say that that would be high on my list. I know, you know, you could say just follow the speed limit. That's true. And you know what? Just some things are going to be the way they're going to be. If you were to create a slogan for your life, what would it be? Oh, you know what? If I had time, I'm sure I could find something more interesting, but just off the top of my head, you know, I'm going to go with Neil Young. Rock and roll is here to stay. Hey, hey. You know, because it's not just the music, but it is a sense of being. It's a framework of rock and roll and everything that that it represents. All right. Let's see. Share one bizarre encounter you've had in life. Wow. There have been many. Let's see. You know what? I'm going to pass on that. I can't recollect just off the top of my head what would the right answer to that. So I'm going to pass. But how can I pass? Well, because I'm not only the interviewee, but I'm also the interviewer, which does put me in a kind of an awkward position in terms of deciding the questions and the answers and which ones I'm going to pass on, but I'm just going to pass on that. Let's see. What's the most anti-establishment thing you've ever done? You know, that's kind of a... It just sort of depends, but... the most anti-establishment thing. You know, I mean, I've never, other than the aforementioned speeding, I can't say that I've really, you know, trespassed or you know, thrown anything at government buildings. you know, I guess when it comes down to it, you know, if you probably look at my blog and some of the ideas that that I promoted, I don't know if they're anti-establishment, but they're certainly outside of conventional wisdom. So that's not a very good answer, but I'm going to go ahead and go with that. If you were mayor for the day, what three things would you change about your city? I'll say I live in Houston, Texas, which is the fourth largest city and getting bigger every day. Three things I would change. I would create, if I could, with just a snap, a comprehensive mass transportation system beyond buses, something that Houston is starting but is still really in its infancy. And with the influx of people that we've had in the city in the last couple of years, it's going to be a really big issue. I would require that roofs over commercial roofs over a certain size either have panels, solar panels for energy, or they would have greenery or something that would absorb the heat. I think that the city can just get too hot, and I think that there's a lot of space on rooftops that we can utilize to make the city not only look better but also feel better and be more energy efficient. And that's the music. So we've reached the end. I want to thank you for listening. Join me next week on Between the Synapse. Be sure to check out Between the Synapse on Facebook and Twitter and at www.betweenthesynapse.com. Thanks for listening.
Thanks again for joining us this week. Mark Tobin and Between the Synapse will transmit once again next Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. And remember, you never know what lies between the synapse.